This morning's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one has gone, and the new one is here.
Well, Steve has been studying and getting us ready for this year, and he'll be back next week, and he will present to us the new theme and the new scripture, and I hope, church, that you're excited about that, because I really do believe God has some big things in store for us this year, and so be praying about that, and I hope that you look forward to that. You don't have to be around Southside for very long before you hear three words that are really important to who we are. Three words that help us define our vision, our DNA, that help us plan for our ministries, because it's connected to these three words: mission, mercy, and transformation. And in the simplest of terms, I'll tell you what I think that means. I think it means that every person is sent, every person is loved, and every person is changed. When we talk about being a church of mission, what we mean is that we believe that every one of us in the church, we are all called to be missionaries. That yes, we have full-time missionaries. Kent and Amber Brantley, they're over in Africa. They're medical missionaries that we support, and God has called them to that. But we also have been called to be missionaries. That each and every one of us are sent to be about God's mission. And so Justin Grimsley, he's up in the balcony right now, but he is a missionary at the Arlington Convention Center where he works. He has been sent there. Carrie Jackson is a missionary. She's a missionary at the school where she is a principal to the students and the other teachers and staff there. When I go to a school event with my kids or a sporting event with my kids and I'm surrounded by people, I am a missionary. We are all called to be missionaries. When we talk about being a church of mercy, what that means is that everybody that comes to this building or comes into contact with us, comes into our presence, every person is loved. Notice I didn't say every person that follows Jesus is loved. I didn't say that every person who has their life put in order is loved. I didn't say that every person that lives the type of lifestyle that we think is good and appropriate and righteous is loved. Every person should be able to come in here or into our presence and receive the love of God just because they're a human with God's image inside of them. And transformation. You know, every year when we make a new theme, it's connected to these three words. I don't know if everyone knows that, but it is. And so last year, our theme was to be a healing presence in the heart of the city. And that idea is connected to our desire to be a church of mercy. In 2019, our theme was to a church becoming a gospel community. And when you start to talk about gospel and proclaiming the gospel, we recognize that's connected to mission. Well, this year, our theme's going to be connected to transformation. And we've been doing a lot of thinking about how transformation happens and what transformation is. And Steve asked for me to preach on how we as leaders imagine for transformation to take place and what it is. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning. But first, I want to start with a story. It's about St. Augustine, one of our early church fathers, lived in the 4th and 5th century. And before he gave his life to Jesus, he lived kind of a wild and reckless life. But he was converted, became a Christian and a leader in the church. And after his conversion, the story goes that he was walking in the streets of Milan, and he passed someone from his former life. a past mistress. And as he walked by her, she recognized him and she called out to him, "Augustine." And he just kept walking. And so again, she called louder, "Augustine." And he, again, just kept going. Finally, she said, "Augustine, it is I." And he called back over his shoulder, "Yes, but it is no longer I." I don't know if that story is literally true, but it absolutely is spiritually true. It connects us to what Mark was talking about. It connects us to the text that we read today, that God is not just interested in saving us for eternal life. He's not just interested in us having some sort of conversion experience so that we can one day live in heaven with Him. He is interested in helping us live a transformed life now. He's not just interested in where we spend eternal life. He's interested in us living the abundant life here on this earth. And what that means, what Augustine was pointing out, what 2 Corinthians 5 says is, God doesn't want to make you better. He wants to make you new. Read with me again from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, "Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ," that's you, "anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." When we talk about transformation, the first thing that we want you to hear is that transformation is not behavior modification. Transformation is a heart transplant. Right? In Ezekiel, God talks about this in Ezekiel. He says this, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your old, stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Transformation is not about improvement. It is about newness. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. It's not just about behaving better. You can do that without any sort of heart change at all. Isn't that why Jesus said, "Hey, you've heard it said, don't murder." And he affirms that. Hey, don't murder. But if you're walking around with anger in your heart, the anger that leads someone to do something like murder, well, then you're just as trapped in sin as the murderer is. He says you can control the way that you live, but it doesn't mean you've had a heart change. That's what transformation is. It's also not just knowing a lot of information about who God is or how God acts in the world or knowing a lot of biblical information. Isn't that what Jesus is getting at with Nicodemus? He has this encounter with Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him in the middle of the night. He's trying to hide the fact that he's going in. He's interested in what Jesus has to say. And he goes to Jesus and he says, "All right, I gotta know more. I want to know more about who you are. I want to know more about how you're doing the things that you're doing." And notice what Jesus' response is. He says this, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." He says, unless you're born again, you're not going to be able to understand this. Now, we've heard this term, born again, for a long time, some of us. Some of us have heard this term for decades. And I think that our familiarity with it clouds our understanding of what Jesus says here. Because now, born again is almost a way to signify which part of the Christian tribe you're a part of. Oh, you're born again. That means you're a Protestant evangelical. But if you put yourself in Nicodemus' shoe, he's coming with this honest question about who Jesus is and how he's doing the things, and Jesus says you have to be born again. What does that even mean? And that's Nicodemus' response. He's like, "What are you talking about? How is an old person going to be born again? How does that even work?" But isn't what Jesus is saying to him, what he's really saying to Nicodemus is, look, you're a Pharisee. You're a religious leader. You know the scriptures back and forth. You have your ideas about who God is and who you are and how you're going to relate to God. And if you really want to experience the transformed life that the kingdom of God has to offer you, then you're going to have to start over anew. You're going to have to unlearn all the things that you think you know so that God's Spirit can reteach you. You see, transformation requires that old things fall away. If you're going to be made new, it's going to be because what is old goes away. And so the old law is replaced with grace. The old sacrificial system is replaced with Jesus. The old idea that you've got to earn your way into God's favor, an idea that too many of us still have. And I will tell you this, if you still have an idea in your heart that you have to behave your way into the favor of God, that is the first old thing that needs to die. It's the first old thing that needs to fall away. Because transformation is not a requirement for God's love. It is the inevitable result of coming into the presence and accepting the powerful love of God. God loved you before you were ever changed. Before you changed anything, God loved you. And in fact, this is critical if we want to be open to the transformative power of God's Spirit. A.J. Swoboda puts it this way. He says, when you know you are loved, even if you never change, then true change is possible. A part of the path of transformation is to recognize that we are powerless to change the way that God feels about us. That God's default position towards us is one of love, and there's nothing that we can do to change that. He doesn't need you to behave better in order to love you. I mean, that's the message of the prodigal son, isn't it? The father is waiting at home, and he runs out to meet him, and we recognize in that this act of love. He loves his son, but he didn't just start loving his son when he saw him coming back. He was always watching for his son because he was always loving his son, even when his son was away. This is Paul's message in Romans when he says that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And in that moment where Christ died for us, he shows us that love. He puts that love on display in a really powerful way. And I want you to remember that Jesus is our best view of who God is. He is the only perfect view of what God is like. He shows us God's character in the way that he lives. And he's dying on the cross next to two criminals, and one of them turns to him and says, hey, will you remember me? There's no chance for behavior change on this guy's part. There's no chance for him to start to turn his life around, start to do good things and serve others. There's no chance for him to learn a lot about religious doctrine. Jesus loves him, though, and says, hey, you're going to be with me in paradise. But when we experience that love, when we come into the awesome presence of the love of God, we cannot help but experience life change. Now, as I've been talking, you might be thinking, okay, some of these things that you're saying, like, hey, this is going to just happen. Right, God's going to be working this transformation in your life. Your old self is dying and you're taking on this new self. That's what it means to be transformed, to die to yourself and to live like Jesus. I don't even know where to start with that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. If you tell me, hey, get your mouth in order, right? Like, hey, don't stop cussing. Stop saying rude things to people online, right? Like, if you say that, like, okay, I know where to start there. I can go about that. If you say, hey, you need to really watch what you view online or on TV, what media you're taking in, okay, I can work really hard on that. I've got some controls that I can do. But when you start to say, hey, you got to let your old life go away and live in this new life. I don't even know where to start. And that's kind of where Jesus' disciples are. He has this encounter with a rich young ruler, and as the rich young ruler walks away, the disciples turn to Jesus and says, hey, if this is true, like, what chance do any of us have? And Jesus says, well, you really don't. What's impossible, though, for you is made possible with God. And that's the truth about transformation, that you cannot transform yourself no matter how hard you try at it. No matter how hard you work at it, you cannot transform yourself. And if you think you can, that's something else that's old that needs to fall away so that the Spirit can reteach you that the work of transformation is the work of God, not men and women. Every time the Bible talks about transformation, it talks about it in a passive sense. It's not something to do. It is something that is done to you. Let me give you a couple of examples. Ephesians 4 says this: since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Put on your new nature. Not, hey, go out and work on a new nature. Try to make yourself a new nature. No. Put it on. God's already done it. Put it on. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this: for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed, there's the old fallen away. All of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. The work of transformation is not ours. It is God's. Now, it does require some bit of effort on our part, obviously. But more than effort, it requires willingness. It requires openness on our part. It requires a willingness to say, I'm going to trust in what God wants to do. I'm going to trust him. A willingness to accept unconditional love. A willingness to live in a world where grace is the economy. This unfair idea that I get the favor and love of God through no actions of my own, but because of Jesus. A willingness to follow Jesus to the cross, to live self-sacrificially. So we open ourselves and become willing for transformation to take place. We cannot transform ourselves, but we can try to create environments and experiences and relationships that help us experience transformation. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells this parable about a guy that sows some seeds, and then day and night, he doesn't really understand how it happens, but it starts to grow. He says, it just grows. I don't know. I don't understand all behind it, but it just happens. I sow out the seeds. That's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to create the field, make the field a place where God's transformation work can happen. And I want to talk about what that looks like at Southside. Because we've been working on a way to communicate well and clearly how we try to facilitate transformation at church. But you need to hear us first. Again, just like you can't transform yourself, hear from us, like, the church is not going to transform you. God will do that. But we can try to create experiences for you that would help facilitate that. There's spiritual disciplines that over centuries have shown that this puts us into the presence of God. And any time that we can get into the presence of God, we have a chance to experience the transformation of God. In the musical Hamilton that was so popular in 2020, there was a song called "The Room Where It Happens." And Aaron Burr sings that because he's lamenting the fact that all these important things always happen in a room where he's not present. And he says, I just want to be in the room where it happens. Well, the leaders of the church want you to be in the room where transformation happens. We want to provide you with the right environments and relationships that put you in God's presence, that help you receive his love and share his love with others, because it's through that that God transforms us. That's why we do the things that we do. Not because there's a quota of classes that we want to fill, not because the church down the street is doing it, but because we want you to claim and live in your new identity as a transformed person. And we believe that transformation happens best in community, that we want to connect you to community. Randy Harris says it's extremely difficult to live the Christian life in community. Some of us have experienced that this year. You've had some conflict and maybe you've had some arguments with people. You realize it's hard being in Christian community. But he says this. He says it's virtually impossible to do it when you're not in community. God has given us one another. He's given us the church so that we could share our lives together, so that we could learn what it means to love someone like God loves them, to forgive someone like Jesus forgives, to mutually care for one another. And we want you, every one of our church partners, we want you to experience the blessing and power of spiritual community. I remember there was a season in my life where I had messed up and hurt the people that were closest to me. And I had become uniquely aware of the depth of my brokenness and the shame poured in. And I went to a brother in Christ who I had confessed things to, and I said to him, I said, I think if you could like put all my ugliness on a film reel and show it to people, the ugliness in my heart especially, that I just don't think anyone would love me. And I really did feel like that in the moment. And if you feel like that, you need to hear that's a lie. That is a lie from Satan. But I felt that way. And I really did. I went to my friend, I said that to him, and he said to me, Matthew, I would love you. He said, there's nothing that you could tell me that would make me not love you. And I remember in that moment, I received that from him as the love of God. Because it was. It was. Like David said, he said, when two or three gather together, Jesus is present. We want you to have spiritual community, because when you can get real with your brothers and sisters, when you can really share life, Jesus is present. And anywhere where Jesus is present, the transformation is not far at all. And we believe transformation happens when we are equipped to grow. And especially in two areas, when we are equipped to grow in our understanding of who we were made to be, of the unique gifts and talents and opportunities that we have to serve God. And so that's why we try to focus our Wednesday night classes on equipping. We talked about poverty this year and how we can respond in poverty. We talked about, Jana did a class on parenting because we want people to be equipped as parents. That's an opportunity to grow in what God has made you to be. So we want to equip you to grow in your understanding of who you are and how you can serve. We also, though, want to equip you to grow in your understanding of how sin and Satan has attacked you in unique ways. Because then we can start to let the old fall away. You know, we are new. We have been made holy, but we're also being made holy. We are new, but our old life still clings on really tight, and so we carry around all these sin tendencies and things like that. And so that's why we do soul care. That's why this year we had a group of men that got together to say, hey, we struggle with sexual purity, and let's talk about it. It's why we had a webinar series once COVID hit about communication, because sometimes we struggle with communicating in ways that are gracious and true. And we believe when that happens, when we can get into our souls and start to recognize this is what God created me to be and this is how sin is distorting that, that transformation takes place. And then we also believe that transformation happens when you are loving your neighbor, when you're joining God in his mission to redeem the world. Jesus says as much. I mean, he says, if you are reaching out to the least of these, he says, if you are clothing the naked, if you are feeding the hungry, if you are visiting those that are incarcerated, like if that's what you're doing, you in that moment are encountering Jesus. And remember, anytime you encounter Jesus, anytime you sit in the presence of God, then transformation can happen. And so as a church, we want to connect you to ministry. We want every person in our church to be connected to a ministry, serving, expanding and enriching the kingdom of God through service and through love of others. That's all what we would tell a new partner. Hey, if you're going to come to our church, then we imagine that transformation is going to happen in this way. We think God will work in these things. Once you're connected to community, that's why we do small groups and Bible class communities, because we want everybody connected to a community, right? It's going to start to happen. Once you start to get into the Word and let the Word reveal to you who you are in Christ and also how sin distorts that, you're going to start to experience transformation. Once you start to be out in the world and you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you're also going to be experiencing the new life. But there are also some of us that have been in the church a long time that need to hear that. Because we are partners, but not partnering. We call our members partners because we recognize that transformation doesn't happen by you signing your name to any piece of paper and adding your name to a role. It happens when you partner with God. And so, if you want more information about this and about how we want every partner to experience transformation at Southside through these things, then Chris Jeter has put together a little website or a little webpage, sscfc.org/partner, and we encourage you to go there and look at that. But I want to close with this. Transformation, we have this here, and it's true. This helps us plan ministry, plan what we do here, because we really do believe that this leads towards God's transformative work in your life. But transformation is going to look different for everybody. There's no formula, right? I mean, in that conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus says this. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit. There's a mystery. There's no formula. And yet, we believe we are a church of transformed people. There's something underneath it, a foundational root system that binds us all together. Maybe you've seen a picture like this before, maybe in a calendar, some nature calendar or something, but this looks like a forest of trees. But it's not. It is actually one organism. It is one tree. It's called Pando, and it's one of the largest organisms in the world and one of the oldest organisms in the world. It's 80,000 years old, and it's all connected with the same root system. It's one root system, and these are basically the branches of this tree. 47,000 what look like trees, but it's all one organism. That's us. We all look a little different. We all have grown a little different. God's used all sorts of things to bring us into His presence, to bring us transformation, and yet we have this common root. That we were all dead, powerless to change, but we're willing, we're open to the Holy Spirit doing something new, open to the Holy Spirit calling something that's in our life now, say, hey, that should be old news, that should be a part of your old life, I've got something new to teach you. The thing is that work's never going to end. We won't ever have it all figured out. We don't have it all right now, but God's going to do something new again and again and again if we are willing to be put in His presence and let Him work on us. We merely need to do our best to make our lives the soil, our hearts soft to God's transforming work. That's our prayer for the church, that through relationships, that through being equipped by the Word to know who we are and who God is and the power that God has, and through our engagement, loving engagement with our neighbors, that God would use those things to transform each one of us in a way that never stops, That's what we want for our church. Let me pray for that for us. God, we recognize that we are new. We are new in Christ. And yet there are still old things that are in our life that need to fall away. Old behaviors, old beliefs, old practices, because you want to teach us something new. And God, we just want to be willing and open to your work. I do pray, God, that you work in our church to create real, deep, spiritual relationships among our people. I pray that you work through our classes and groups to help people grow in their understanding of who we are as people and who you are as God and what you desire for us. I pray that you give us fresh vision and creativity about the ministry that you're calling our church to, because we believe, God, that you will work in all of those, that we will encounter you in each of those things and experience the transforming work that you have in store for us. We invite you to search our hearts, to find the old and root it out, and to teach us something new. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a second, we're gonna worship. And if there's any concerns that you have, anything that we can be praying for you about, that your leaders should be aware of so that we can join you in that, be your spiritual friend in this time of need for you, we want to help in any way that we can. So come forward and let us know. But now we'll stand and worship.